Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this beautiful December Sunday morning. It's towards the end of the year. We are looking forward to the Advent season and celebrating the season of Advent.
Let me see what it's on the Sunday morning. Towards the end of the year, we are looking forward to the Advent season. And,
is it pre-recorded?
Yeah. Give me 1 second. There's so two zones. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to gather in your name to worship here and also online. We thank you for the manifold blessings that you shower upon us every day, in spite of where we are, you still continue to give us what we need in our lives. Help us, Lord, to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us everything that we need in our lives, the eternity that you have promised through your Son, Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord, to understand that even when we don't deserve it, even when we are yet sinners, you loved us with an everlasting love. Thank you for your faithfulness through the ages, Lord, and you spoke the promises through the prophets, and in time you revealed your glory in Jesus Christ. May the hope the Christ child brings completely renew our hearts and minds as we prepare for his coming. You have come down on high, sending your precious Son, Jesus Christ, to make your presence tangible with us. Guide us, Lord, when we find lost, and protect us when we are worried, and work in us and through us when we wait for you. Thank you for sending your Spirit to work in our life. Give us the patience as we wait for the revealing of your glorious kingdom. May the services of word and praises we present today here, O God, glorify your kingdom on this earth and in our lives through your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. It's our fellowship time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
When you're not here, I'm going to be really.
No.
I was trying to see if
you can hear it. No, it was me. I clicked the mute button. Sometimes one of these keys will click the mute. It happens to
me. Yeah.
Right. Technology. You're the one that suggested that we all met 2 weeks ago.
But I'm too old for 8 overtimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Me too. No, that's good. I have the
help. Okay, Joy to the World, page 246. And we will do 1, 2, and 4.
All right.
1, 2, and 4.
Nature seems
mercy and heaven and heaven and nature see. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs implore. White fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations proud. The glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. And wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Now we'll do the lighting of the Advent candle. We will be celebrating hope on this Sunday and this week, looking forward to the hope that God has given us. And at this time, Liliana, can you light any one of those long candles? Yes. Let us pray. God of hope, thank you that in your great mercy you have given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that we can never perish, spoil or fade. As we light the candle of hope, may we understand that we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We find the hope of the glory of God and that we can even glory in our sufferings. We know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. As the prophet Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations, in him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill us with joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Our responsive reading is taken from Psalm 122, verses 1 through 9. It is on page 845 in the Blue Book. If you are able, please stand for the responsive reading.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
Our feet were standing within your gates, O Jerusalem.
Jerusalem is built as a city and is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to give thanks to the name of the Lord, and was decreed for Israel.
Thrones for judgment were set there, the thrones of the house of David.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, and security within your towers.
For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you.
For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good.
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Please be seated. It's our prayer time now when we bring our prayers of blessings and share with each other and give thanks to God, and also we'll bring our prayers of petitions and burdens together as a church and lift them up to the throne of grace of God, trusting in God's promise that he will answer our prayers according to his will and his time. So let us share our prayers of blessings and concerns. The regular prayer requests are at the back of the bulletin and the boxes listed there. Please continue to pray for these people and these items. Some of the prayers that we have been praying for, Jose Luis, Monica's brother, is back at home, I believe, yes. By this time.
Yes.
Thanks for all your prayers, and the yes. family appreciates our prayers.
He
was in a very bad situation when he was in the hospital. They didn't know if he was going to make it or not, but he's back home. So please pray for him and his family, and continue to pray for Barbara, Harry, Carol, Claudia, Jerry, Lou, and Grace. Also, please remember Jean McBrayer in our prayers. She's doing okay, but she's not confident enough to come and walk up the steps here. So please pray for her also, keeping our prayers. Pray for Lois Thompson, Lou's sister, who will be going and undergoing a surgery for her back backbone behind the brain.
Yeah.
It's a serious surgery. But please pray for her. She was here with us during the last, before the lunch a couple of months ago. So please pray for her and her family during this time of her surgery. And pray for the families that are grieving at the death of their dear ones, the Nickelodeon family, Stephen family, and Samson family. Please pray for these families as they're grieving. Pray for their peace at this time. Let us also remember our service workers in our prayers, our military, fire, police, and grocery clerks and delivery people and many, many others who work behind the scenes. So let us keep them in our prayers for their safety and their family's safety. Pray for our nation during this transition time, that God will work through the leaders, that there will be a peaceful transition of power, and also the new leadership also will be effective in leading the country and the world. They're also serving the people, making the right decisions. So let us pray that God will give them the right the wisdom and the right people in the right places. Pray for world leaders, that there will be peace around the world, especially in the Middle East and many other parts of the world that are affected by war. Let's pray for world leaders that when they make decisions, that they will also fear God and bring peace to this world. Let's pray for our church. Pray that God will give us his grace every day to do his work in this community and to be a blessing here where he has placed us faithfully. And pray for all the churches in this community and the pastors and the bishops and leaders of the churches around the world. That God will continue to strengthen them in their faith and that they will be faithful in ministering the word of God, faithful to the scripture, faithful to the doctrine, that God will strengthen them also. So let us pray for these items. Those are my regular prayer requests for you to use this as a prayer list for your regular prayers on every day. Please post this bulletin near your prayer or study room. You can pray to, for these people and these items regularly. Are there any special calls for prayer requests? Yes, Chief.
I have two. My niece's mother-in-law passed away last Tuesday. Very, very good friend of mine. His father passed away the evening of Thanksgiving Day. That would be the Brown family.
Yeah, it's always sad when the things happen, like Liliana's husband passed away last Thanksgiving week. So we were with her on Thanksgiving Day this week. And I'm glad that you're here today and we worship together. So let us pray for comfort for these grieving families. Any others? If not, let us go to God in prayer with our prayers, our praises and concerns. And we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer. And then I'll close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Thank you. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the life, the gift of life with all its joys and blessings that you shower upon us every day. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection. Even when we are not aware of your guidance, you still keep us safe and guide us through every walk of our life every day. You are the source of all good things, O God, and you desire only good for us, and we thank you for that, always caring and looking after us, Lord. Thank you again for your grace in our life every day. We come before you with many of our concerns and burdens, Lord, because we are broken in many different ways, especially the dear ones who are going through difficult times with their health. We pray for healing for all of those that we have named here. Particularly, we pray for Jose. Thank you for the progressive recovery that you have given him. And thank you for being with him during this time and bless him and his family with your peace during this time and comfort him with your presence and heal him. We pray for Barbara and Harry and Carol, Claudia, Jerry, Lou, Grace, and Lois, as they are also facing various challenges with health in their lives. Pray for grace upon them. Particularly, we pray for Lois as she is going to have a surgery in the next couple of weeks. We pray for your special grace to be with her, Lord. Touch her with your healing hand. Above all, we pray for peace for her and for her family members. We pray for a good and successful surgery for her and a complete recovery. When your people unite in spirit and pray in one spirit, your promise is that you will answer our prayers and heal our sick dear ones. We trust in your promise, O God. We also pray for the families that are grieving at the death of their dear ones. Especially we pray for the Horn family and the Brown family. During this holiday season as they are grieving, we pray for your special grace and comforting presence to be there with them, Lord. To fill them with your peace that passeth all understanding that the world cannot give. We pray for the Nickelodeon family, the Stephen family, and the Samson family. Bless all of them with your grace and peace, Lord, and comfort them with your presence. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and all those people who are serving behind the scenes, our farmers, our grocery clerks, delivery people, mailmen, trash workers, many, many, many others, Lord, that are serving us every day. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for their services. And we pray for their safety and their family's safety during this time. Help them, Lord, O God, to have a good time during this holiday season. We pray for our nation as we are going through a transition time of power. We pray for your grace upon the leaders of our country, our president, our leaders of the Congress and governors and many others who make decisions. Give them your wisdom, Lord, that they will make the right decisions. And also the people who they are selecting for the new administration will be the right people who will make the right decisions, Lord, that will bring good to the people of this country and peace to this world. We pray for world leaders. Pray for your grace upon them as they make decisions, that they will also fear God and will be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they will make decisions that will bring peace to this world. We thank you again for this church that you have placed in this community. Help us, Lord, to use the opportunities that you gave us to faithfully to serve you in this community and around the world. We pray for your grace for all churches in this community and the pastors, the leaders, the bishops. And we pray for the world church at large. Pray for your grace upon all the leaders of the church in various parts of the world and the missionaries and many, many others who work for your kingdom in your vineyard. We pray for your grace upon them and strengthen them with your faith and also fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you be with us today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, in our singing, in our prayers, meditation of the word, and the Lord's table that we partake today, Lord. Bring blessing in our lives and also blessing to this world through our lives, Lord. May your name be lifted up and your people be blessed. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please.
praise God from whom our blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, down from the heavenly Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Loving God, you are the source of all that we have and we are. You are merciful and gracious that you give everything that we need from your open hand, the gift of life, health, joy, and fellowship. Help us, Lord, to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We bring before you a portion of what you have given us, O God, as a witness to the love we have for you. Loving God, help us to understand that you called us to be the stewards of your abundance and blessings and caretakers of your blessings in this world. We thank you for all of those who were able to give joyfully and pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love, O God. Bless and help us to use this offertory to share your love in this community and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you remain standing, we'll read the scripture now, which is taken from Gospel according to Luke. Chapter 1, verses 26 through 38.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, you are the living Word who came to this world in flesh and blood, so that we can receive the word in our lives with power and spirit. Help us, Lord, to receive your word in power and spirit so that we can be a blessing to this world through us. Open our hearts, Lord, and with an obedient and humble heart so that we can obey your word as you command us. Illumine our souls so that we can understand the meaning of the message you have before us. And the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we celebrate the message of hope as part of the Advent season today, Are we ready to accept hope? In other words, when hope finds you, are you going to be ready? Mary was chosen by God as the mother of the Savior to be born. And he was a little girl who was living in a city, it's a little place called Nazareth outside of Jerusalem. And Nazareth was a very little remote place. Nobody really cares about that place. And that's why the famous saying that says, is anything good come out of Nazareth? Is there anything good coming out of Nazareth? Because they were considered to be like rural people, not educated, very underdeveloped area of Nazareth. And she was from Nazareth. And the famous saying about Nazareth, is anything good going to come out of Nazareth, is said by Nathanael, one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, while Philip met Jesus Christ. Philip, one of the disciples, met Jesus Christ in his ministry, and then he followed Jesus. Then Philip met Nathanael and told Nathanael, hey, I saw Jesus and I am following him now. You may want to come and follow this Jesus. And he asked him, where is he from? He's from Nazareth. Oh, well, there is nothing good coming out of Nazareth. So that's how the saying came. There's nothing good comes out of Nazareth. But Mary was from Nazareth, and that's how Jesus got the name Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So hope comes from the very unexpected places and sources many times. And are we ready to accept it? Mary, even though she was a very little girl, maybe she was 15 or 16 in a very remote place like that, never thought that she would be chosen by God for this great mission for this world. In the beginning, she was afraid. She had questions. She had doubts. But all of that doubts and questions were cleared, and she took that opportunity and accepted the hope that she was given to receive the Savior into this world. So sometimes we get afraid and doubtful, but ultimately, if we recognize that hope comes from God, we ought to be ready to receive that in our lives. Hope is something that we receive in our lives. It's a choice. Many times we don't. As a pastor, I visit people in the hospitals, and one of the places that I feel a mixture of hope and people without hope are in the waiting rooms of the hospitals. A lot of people are very hopeful, especially waiting for a surgery or something, that critical procedure that they're waiting for in the waiting room for their dear ones who is in the hospital in the surgery. And those places are a mixture of hope and hopelessness. Most people are hopeful that the surgery or the procedure their relatives are going through will be successful. So hope strengthens us. And the pastor's role in those places is to encourage them, to strengthen them their hope. And we need to receive hope by choice. In the same situation where we are, we can see people divided. Some people are hopeful and some people are not hopeful. It's like half empty glass and full glass, you know, whatever you say, empty glass is empty or half full. Half empty or half full. That's the way we look at hope also. In the same situation, Mary chose to accept the hope, and she prepared herself to receive that hope, even though it was in the most unlikely places and most unlikely person that God chose to bring hope to this world. But this waiting season that we have as Advent, looking forward to the Christmas, we put up trees and we decorate our homes and light candles and hang wreaths and put all these lights on the houses. This year I see a lot more houses with lights on top of their roofs. And we had a big problem because they started early October. And people were complaining, and some people were like not happy. Some people were very happy because they got a good deal from the lighting company. They started early. But we have these, all these celebrations and preparations that we mark this holiday season as an expectation season of hope. The excitement is in the air now, moving us towards acts of love and care and compassion as we get opportunities to do. It is all because that we know that the good news is coming to a manger and into our hearts. That is what the expectation of the season is. The good news of peace and love are coming to this world. And the psalmist, we read in Psalm 130, the psalmist sings like this: I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. You know how watchmen at night wait for the morning. They have this very difficult job to watch and guard during the night. And then they wait for the morning to come so that they can see the sunlight and go home. Just like that, they're waiting for the darkness to come to an end. The psalmist is saying that I wait for the Lord more than watchmen waiting for the morning. The sleepy guard on the last watch of the night stands in anticipation of the sunrise that will set him free from his work. In a similar way, we wait for this month with excitement for the appearance of the sun who will set us free and give us hope in a hopeless world. Hope is what we believe about the future. Hope gives us the purpose and security in life. But hope is not determined by the circumstances surrounding us. Many times we look at our circumstances that is around us and base our hope based on the circumstances. But the scripture, especially during the birth of Jesus Christ, all the events that are happening around the birth of Christ tell us that our hope is not dependent on the immediate circumstances. Our hope is dependent on our trust and faith in a living God.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
True hope comes from God and God only. If we put our trust and our faith in the material things around us, our dear ones, our family members, our friends, I mean, these are all good things. They are good people. But there is a limit to where they can go to. There's a limit. We can only trust them to so much, right? Mostly, most of them Amen. Will go up to the graveyard and say bye.
Yeah.
Right? The tombs.
Amen.
And Liliana went to, in memory of her husband, to spread flowers this weekend. Yes, our dear ones are gone from us. But the way that we take that is that we have a hope beyond our life in this world that sustain us. That's what our hope in this world is, to sustain us in this world with something about the future. Even though we don't know what the future is, we still trust that there's a God who knows the future. Mm-hmm. And he knows everything about the future that we are going through. So our life security is not determined by the circumstances surrounding us, but by what we believe about the future. That's why in Romans, Paul says, rejoice in hope. So people who have hope will always be happy. People without hope are not going to be happy. Can you see any people, anybody who doesn't have a hope is happy? They're going to be miserable. What is there to live for if you don't have hope in your life? It is a powerful thing that God gave us to have hope. And Bible says, particularly hoping against hope. In Romans chapter 12, Paul talks about rejoicing in hope. He continues to say that hope is powerful enough that we can hope against all odds in our lives, against all human evidence. And that's why he's saying about hoping against hope. He refers to Abraham. Abraham was 75 years old when God's angel appeared to him and said, you are going to be the father of a baby. was 75 years old. But he waited 25 years. He still don't have a baby. And he turned 100. And his wife Sarah was in the 90s. And they lost all hope of having a child. But we read in the scripture that Abraham hoped against all hope that he will be the father of many nations. And in the 100th year of his life, God gave him a child, the promised son that God promised him. So sometimes we think that we have to wait a long time. But waiting is part of any good thing, right?
Amen.
A baby to be born, how many months you have to wait?
Nine.
9 months. Some people don't want to wait. They go and get the baby early. But waiting is part of anything good.
Amen.
I mean, you are only, as human beings, you have to wait only 9 months. But there is the elephant. His conception period is 18 months. Yeah. And there's a little salamander that they found out that the conception period is 36 months. So aren't we lucky to have only 9 months? So waiting is part of everything good. So we have to wait for God's fulfillment, God's will to fulfill in our lives. Hope against hope is what we are asked to do in this world, even though the immediate circumstances don't give us any hope. We can still hope because there is a God who gives us hope in the midst of our hopeless circumstances. And also, Mary knew that she was really nobody, that God could choose her. And the message of hope tells us that it is not dependent on our merits. It is only because of God's grace. Mary was not chosen because of her merits. She didn't have anything to boast about. No education, no experience in life, not even from a good village. But God chose her not because of her merits, but because of his grace. So God's angel told her, you are highly favored, even though you are a young girl from a remote village. So hope is rooted in grace and not on our merits. And the foundation of God is, a foundation of hope is the scripture. We have to trust and believe in the scriptures. The promises that God has given us through his word is our foundation of our hope. And the faith and the hope also calls for action of faith. Hope doesn't mean that we don't have any questions. Yes, we do have questions like Mary did. How will this be? She asked. We may have questions, even in the midst of grief and in the midst of suffering. We can ask God, how is this going to be? Yes, there are questions. It does not mean that the absence of questions, but trusting God for answers beyond our understanding. It is just like trusting in our GPS, right? Our GPS, how many times? Last couple of days ago, I was listening to somebody saying that the mobile phone has become another organ in our body that we can't live without. I thought it was really true. When I miss this phone at my home, I get panicked. That's what it is. It's like missing my arm or my leg. That's how it is now. We are dependent on all of these things. We trust these things. Just like that, we trust our God, who has been faithful in the past. And we look back, it's our history of God's faithfulness, how good he was in our lives. And we can look forward to that same God who will guide us in the future, that he will be faithful in the future. So as we come before God and celebrate the message of hope today, let us say like Mary did, after she understood all that thing that the angel told her, she said, I am the Lord's servant. Let your will be done. Let us go to God in our prayers and tell him that let your will be done. We are God's servants. And we are waiting in hope for an eternal hope that God has given us. An eternity that we will have together with God, because Jesus rose from the dead we can also rise from our death, and we will be with God and our dear ones eternally. That is the hope, eternal hope that he has given us. So the hope is not in this world alone. It is also in the world to come that we will have the eternity together with God. A friend of mine who was, when he was in college, right after college, he was not very good in college, but he went through college and he graduated from college. He didn't have a lot of good grades or anything to get a good job. So he and his friend decided to drive his car over to the West Coast and find a job from Georgia. So this is a personal story he shared with me. And he and his friend took this old car and started driving towards the West Coast, and they could not find anything there. So they decided, somebody told them to go somewhere in New York. So they had to come all the way back to New York with this old car. And on their way, one of the car's tires blew up. So he didn't have a lot of money, and he had some money. So they went to the ATM and got some money and fixed the tire and went on their way back to New York. And somewhere in New Jersey, if you have been to New Jersey or New York, the New Jersey Turnpike, I have been to that turnpike. In the middle of that traffic, another tire blew up. And he didn't know what to do. And he knew there was very little money left in the bank account. And he had probably less than $10 in the bank account. They didn't know what to do. So they pulled over, slept in the car at night. And in the morning, something told him to go check the ATM with his car. He knew there was no going to be any money, but at least, something happens. So he went and checked the ATM, and there was $200 deposited in his ATM. And he could not understand what happened. And that's when he realized that he called his dad, and at that time there was no cell phone or anything. Then he called from later on from somewhere. He called his dad and asked how this happened. And the dad said, well, I was also in the ATM one day taking some money, and I thought to check your account because they have a joint account. And somehow I checked your account and I saw only $6 in your account. And I knew you were driving. So I thought I would put some money in there. A father who cares for his son in this world, how much more our Heavenly Father would care for us when we are in need. Even when we are not aware of what's going on, he will care for us. And he will give us what we need. Let us be filled with that hope as we go from this place. As people of God, we are a people of hope. Never lose that hope. And instill that hope in other people. Wherever we work, in our school, in our workplace, in our church, share that hope with others. So there will be a whole world filled with hope, because God is there faithful, and he will guide us in the future. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place. As we come before the table today, all are invited, and share this blessing of hope through this table. This is an open table. All are invited. As the ushers guide you, please come forward. Please use the laminated sheets at your pews found there. Everybody have one of these? Okay. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy,
holy, holy, holy Lord, God, Father, and Lord, heaven and earth, full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You gave hope, that is an everlasting hope, not only in this world, but also in eternity to come. You delivered us from the slavery to sin and death and made us with a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself for us, he took the bread and he gave thanks to you. And he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and drink. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please come and join the table as the ushers guide you.
Thank you.
God has given us another opportunity to take part in this Lord's table, reminding us that God's hope is everlasting to everlasting, and it fills us every day so that we can share that hope with others. Now we'll pray with thanksgiving. First, Pastor Nelson will pray in Spanish, then I'll pray in English after that.
Vamos a orar. Señor mi Dios, le damos gracias en este hermoso día. Gracias porque nos permite, mi Dios, tomar la Santa Cena. Es un recordatorio que un día la tomaremos delante de su presencia junto con usted. Gracias por este privilegio que te nos permite y por ser, mi Dios, la última Santa Cena del año. Le queremos suplicar y le queremos pedir que usted nos siga dando el privilegio de podernos reunir juntos como un solo cuerpo en Cristo. Gracias por todo lo que usted nos provee, por sus bendiciones. Y gracias por esta hermosa iglesia. Nos ponemos en sus manos en el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of this Lord's table, the Holy Communion that we partake here today, in which you have given yourself to us. Remind us that you fill us with the hope of eternity every day, that we will be joining together with you and our dear ones one day. Remind us so that we can share that hope with others. We thank you for this time that you have given us. So help us to be your witnesses faithfully wherever you place us in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is O Come All Ye Faithful. It is 234 in the Blue Book, and in the Spanish book is 193. Veni, how do you say it? Veni?
Venid fieles todos.
193. Please.
En español 193.
Please stand if you're able. God, the scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, the familiar verse that we all know, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, not harm. May Mary's words, "Let it be me according to your word," are a model for us to embrace as we go from this place, filled with God's promises, with faith and courage every day. May we find hope in God's promises this Advent, allowing that hope to inspire us to action. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen.